thanks so much for joining us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Great to have back Bassam Shakashiri with us. He is a professor of chemistry at UW-Madison, national proponent for science and education. And that's what we're going to talk about with him, science and education. We'll talk about the latest high school testing results. We're going to get into climate change a bit, maybe. And he has a special anniversary we'll talk about as well. And certainly look forward to having you part of the conversation as you listen in. Join in at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Bassam Shakashiri, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, Larry. It's always a great pleasure to be on your program. And I hear from so many listeners about the quality of your program and your own personal enthusiasm and interest in all the topics that you discuss. So thank you for having me, Larry.
Well, it's always a lot of fun to have you visit. Here we are. The last round of statewide testing results came out. We talked about it a little bit early in the day, but let's talk about how Wisconsin's doing.
Well, these test results that are released periodically in all areas are important to all of us. They are telltales of the status of education, and they are reminders to all of us to become more deeply involved in assuring quality of our educational systems. And to me, the test results indicate in some areas some good progress, in other areas not as good. But as I say, they are telltales and they are reminders. They should spur us to insist on the highest quality we can provide in our educational systems, in schools and colleges and universities, but especially in schools at the middle school level, the high school level. Everyone should be interested in how these scores tell us that there are things we should be paying special attention to. People in the business community should look at those results. And in 5 to 10 years, the students who are now being measured will be customers of the people in the business community.
Or working for them.
And so we reading is essential. Understanding, comprehension are really very, very important. So is mathematics. Those two results relate to those two topics. But in all areas, especially in reading and in writing, this is how we learn. This is how we develop skills to express ourselves. So they all go together. And you know, one of my questions that I ask the people every now and then, kind of off the air, but
yeah,
I'll mention
sure.
it now, is tell me what three books you've read lately, and what did you learn from them? Were they all novels? Were they fiction? Were they factual? Were they enjoyable? We learn by reading. We learn in so many other ways too, but reading is essential. So development of good reading skills in our schools is critical. And everyone in the community, parents, grandparents, responsible citizens, should really insist on the highest quality for reading, mathematics, and science in our school systems, in the inner city school systems, and especially in the rural area.
Well, some people may say, well, these numbers or these scores, they put too much emphasis on these scores. Do you think we put too much emphasis on it or not?
As I said, Larry, they are telltales. They're indicators. To me, there should be a standard, and the standard is the threshold below which the performance would not be acceptable. So this is my view about standards.
Okay.
National standards, state standards, that they represent a threshold below which these students who are not performing require special attention on our part. So, yes, I think we should pay attention to the numbers, but we should put the numbers in context, and we should use the numbers to spur us to take responsible action by insisting on the highest quality we can provide our students in the classroom and outside the classrooms. My group and I, the Sciences Fund group, we visit libraries. And it's especially joyful for me and my group to see the students there and with their parents, because we do these special events there. But the library is a very important destination for everyone in the community. Please go to the library. Please take someone to the library and read. Read a book, not just electronic reading, but read a printed book. It is a joyful experience.
Ah, it is indeed. If you were worried about scores that just came out or may have some level of concern, what areas would you be most concerned about?
Well, reading is
a big one.
It's at the top of my list, yes. And as I say, there should be a minimal threshold level below which reading skills require attention. We should do something about that. And, you know, in Wisconsin, we have pockets of excellence everywhere, outside of Wisconsin, too. But we're talking about every student in the classroom should have good reading skills, should have good ability, should develop good ability to think quantitatively. That's where mathematics gets in the picture. And, of course, literacy in general is crucial to the well-being of our society. Literacy in science is what I talk about the most, but general literacy and responsibility for what goes on in our community are very critical parts of what we must do as responsible citizens.
So we are experiencing, as you know, extreme weather all over the world. Right here in Wisconsin, for sure, too. And I'm wondering, what part is climate change playing in the politics in general here, presidential election politics in general?
There are several stories in the news, headline news, about issues related to the recent hurricane that did a lot of damage in the Bahamas, but also elsewhere. And in that regard, extreme weather is related to climate change. I want to be careful about attribution. I'm not saying it's a cause and effect, because hurricanes and tropical storms have been happening for a very long time, but their frequency and their intensity are related to climate change. And climate change is an area where our elected officials have a responsibility to share with the public, whether it's the Weather Service or or whether it is any part of the U.S. government or the state government, to provide reliable information about the pathways of hurricanes, about the potential intensity, so that this is a public safety issue, Larry. And I was just, I have to say this, I was appalled that the Weather Service and the Department of Commerce, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Agency, came under attack. They're very highly competent, dedicated scientists that work in the agency. They do an outstanding job. I know some of them personally. I have the privilege of having known two former directors. They're outstanding people. One is Kathy Sullivan. She's a former astronaut. And the other one is Jane Lubchenco. They both led this agency. And to have that agency come under attack without having a responsible response from our elected officials in Washington is just appalling to me. And that's why I call on everyone in the listening audience, Republicans, Democrats, independent voters, to insist that the integrity of science and the integrity of the people who are providing us with information related to public safety be always protected. We must do this. This is essential to us as responsible citizens who take our duty seriously and who insist that we're not going to be influenced by political maneuvers that have no foundation whatsoever when it comes to scientific issues and projections, as was the case in the hurricane recently.
Let's take some calls. Joe in Platteville will give you a chance to join in. And by the way, you can join in as well with your own comments at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org. And now let's turn to Joe in Platteville. Hi, Joe.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I heard the program this morning. I heard a program earlier with Senator Olson on. And one of the things that Senator Olson said that, Act 10 did not hurt Wisconsin education. I think what we're seeing as far as the test scores now and the things that went on with, lack of teachers getting into science, getting into math and other areas is from Act 10. And it's just, an 8-year, 9-year period of time afterwards, actually 11 years now. And it has just really diminished the education in Wisconsin. And Governor Walker safely out of office now, but we're seeing what he did during his time as governor.
Well, Joe, I thank you for calling. Comment, Bassam.
Thank you, Joe, for your observation. I am committed, as everyone knows, who've ever listened to me, to empowering teachers to do their best in the classroom. We live in a society where we must interact with each other, and I hope interact in respectful ways and stand up for what we think is right and do it in a civil way. The political action of Act 10 9 years ago, that's the law, and that's what we have to live by. It's if we don't like it, we live in a democracy. We live in the best democracy that ever existed in history. And so if we don't like it, we should work to make appropriate changes. I am one who is always wanting to help point the way more so than point the finger. It's not beneath me to point the finger. Don't misunderstand. It's just very important for us to think about what we must do in our educational systems to empower teachers to do their best in providing the highest quality educational offerings to their students, to our students. And if this requires political changes in the law, then we must work together in respectful ways to make that happen.
And Joe, thanks again for calling. Bassam Shakashiri, our guest today, as we take a look at science and education with him. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Tyler Ditter, our engineer today, Jill Nadeau, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at science and education today on the Ideas Network, Larry Mueller here with my guest, Bassam Shakashiri, professor of chemistry at UW-Madison. He's known for his leadership in national science policy, and always great to have him come by and talk with us. You may have a question relating to science or education. I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Bassam, as long as we're kind of on the environment and so forth, the administration announced last week the repeal of a major Obama-era clean water regulation or set of regulations. Concerns about this?
I am concerned about the repeal of many important acts that our elected officials are wanting to and are doing now compared to what was done before. The laws of our country are to protect us and to help improve the quality of life. In the area of the environment, in the area of water quality, in the area of food safety, in the area, all areas of public health, we should be vigilant and pay attention to the immediate and the long-term ramifications of changes in the law. The quality of water is something that we should all be paying very special attention to. There are around the globe 1.3 billion people who cannot drink a sip of clean water. And Larry, 1.2 million of them are in our country here. And they're not just in Flint, Michigan. And they're not in only in Flint or in Newark, New Jersey. They're everywhere. And so we must be protecting the quality of our rivers, of our lakes. We should be taking responsible measures to be sure that they do not get polluted, they do not get contaminated. So I am urging everyone in the listening audience to take a hard look at these changes. And as I said just a short while earlier, if the laws that are enacted, if they are not suitable for serving the purposes for which we stand for and what we believe in, then we should work hard to change them. I think it's just a bad thing that we're having setbacks from laws that were enacted in the past 10, 15, 20 years that were set to protect the environment, actually since the establishment of the EPA, and to act in ways that are not based on good scientific public safety measures. I think is something that is of great concern to me.
Let's take another call, Bassam. Karen in Appleton has something for us, so let's go there. Hi, Karen.
Hi, thank you so much. We're actually interviewing schools in this area. There's so many to choose from. They're all really great schools, looking at the graduation rates and things. My children are young. They're fifth and second graders, but we're thinking long-term, college and high school, and wonder what are good questions to ask? How can I do good research? How can I uncover some things? Just how to help. What would you suggest as I approach this? And I think this is probably applicable for other parents and other areas. But of course, I'm curious about the Appleton, Nina, Kimberly.
Yeah.
Winneconne, all these areas. So thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
There are some good schools in that area, too.
Very good schools. We have lots of good schools in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. We want all of them to be good schools and to remain good schools. That's what Karen's question is about, is how can we become more involved by asking questions, by inquiring about the quality of the programs that are offered in the schools. So personal visits are important. Electronic communications, they're fine, they're expedient. But I think personal visits, having a conversation with teachers, with the school administrators, that is very essential, Karen. But I also would suggest that during these visits where you ask questions, you also express what you think is important for your children to be getting from being enrolled in the school. I think it's setting expectations is very helpful to those of us who are engaged in education. So express the issues that you feel strongly about, whether they are in how much the school offers by way of, we were talking about reading before, but reading, developing reading skills, how open is the school to inquiry, to nurturing curiosity about the beautiful, complex world that we live in. You know, Karen, in a couple of short weeks, we are going to experience a magnificent color change in the trees. And so how do teachers in the schools trigger conversations about not only the beauty of the colors, but what causes these color changes and what effects climate change might have on these changes? So all kinds of questions that one can come up with to nurture the curiosity that youngsters have. You know, we're all curious. It's not just youngsters. But we're talking about nurturing the curiosity of the youngsters and helping the schools, the teachers, and the administrators set good expectations for when the students enroll.
All right. Karen, I hope that – does that help?
Yes, that's really, really great. Did you find any centers of excellence in this area, especially in math, is what I'm curious about?
Math is very important, and the question should include what is in the curriculum and at what levels, and when did the students, depending on their age, get to into algebra, for example, and when do they get into, if they're moving on to high school, are there advanced placement courses in mathematics? When does calculus get introduced into the curriculum? How is calculus taught, not just introducing it? But the ability to make sense of numbers, to make sense of information that we see and we receive via the news media. Basically, what I'm suggesting here is that we pay some attention to a part of mathematics called statistics. How do we understand probability? How do we assess risk? The risk assessment. All of these are concepts that are mathematical to begin with, but they have very important social ramifications.
And here would be one spot where you can look at the scores of various schools in the mathematics area and get maybe a general idea of how students are doing.
That's a good point of departure, but I don't want us to be fixated on the scores.
Right. Absolutely. Karen, thank you so much. Appreciate your call. Stephanie and Amaro, going to you now. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Larry and Sam. I just wanted to say thank you guys so much for having this discussion. I think it's really important. And also about with schooling, I think it was a good point to kind of talk about some of that and then also having classes that are more conscious towards the environment and the situations that we're in so that people can try to understand them.
Yeah.
Classes on the environment, to me, are important, but the environment should be part of every class that we have, whether it's an English writing class or a science class. All of these classes deal with human matters that relate to the quality of life in our society. So where we go fishing, where we go hunting, where we go watching sports events, whether or not we go to the zoo or to a botanical garden or just be out in nature, all of these matters are related to the quality of life that we have in our immediate community. And I think classes are ways by which knowledge is organized and is shared with students. And that's a very good thing to do. But we should always insist on having the highest quality educational offerings, environmental, scientific, educational, ethical, in all of our classrooms.
Yeah. And there's ways to do it in virtually any topic, any subject, as Bassam is saying here. Stephanie, thank you so much. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Bassam, we had an email from Pat in Madison to ask how the preparedness of Wisconsin students has changed, perhaps, over the years in your classroom. If so, how has it changed?
Thank you for that email comment and question. There is more awareness now on the part of all of us in the educational system to pay attention to climate change. There are more of us now who are keenly committed to incorporating the science of climate change into our classrooms. And that, of course, requires understanding what the science of climate change is, knowing what a greenhouse gas is, what makes it a greenhouse gas, what are the consequences of the greenhouse effect, why we must reduce our dependence on fossil fuels as a source of energy, so to reduce the amounts of carbon dioxide that are emitted into the atmosphere. Carbon dioxide is, by and large, responsible to global warming. It is something we can act on and do something about. So I would say there is more awareness. I'm not ready to say that there's more action that's taking place there. That's part of the mission that I and my colleagues are embarked on, is to help raise awareness on the part of fellow faculty, fellow teachers, but also raise the expectations of the community at large to think seriously about the consequences of climate change, the economic consequences, the good ones, the bad ones. Look at the consequences that affect the quality of water that we have. And there's so many telltales of these changes in our own state of Wisconsin, everywhere. The plant hardiness zones, this is a telltale of how global warming has affected our ability to plant in Wisconsin and elsewhere. Those, by the way, Larry and others in the listening audience, are displayed vividly on my website. I invite you to visit my website, scifun.org, scifun.org, to learn not only about the plant hardiness zones as a telltale for climate change and how we must pay attention to incorporating the science of climate change in our courses, but also have a look at another telltale, the duration of ice on the surface of Lake Mendota. The duration of ice on the surface of Lake Mendota is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. That's another telltale of global warming. The evidence is all around us. What we must do is make the proper connections, both in the classroom and outside the classroom, so we take responsible action to mitigate global warming.
So you're saying was essentially the awareness among students is you think greater, perhaps. Are they academically as prepared, do you think, as they were in the past?
The students in the classroom have to be helped to make the connections between the curriculum that they're studying and climate change. And speaking of students, Larry, on Friday there will be around the world a big demonstration led by students at the United Nations and elsewhere, calling attention to climate change. Students in New York are being given time off to participate in this peaceful demonstration, calling upon the adults. They're all in their teens. The students are calling upon the adults to pay attention now to issues related to climate change.
Let's take some more calls here. Nancy in Grafton will give you a chance now. Hi, Nancy.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
I have a question about here in Ozaukee County. They're building a school, and it's out in a river edge, or it's in a county park or state park. But anyhow, they build yurts out there, and that's going to be their classrooms are in these yurts. And that's one of the questions. I don't know if you've ever heard about this thing that's going on here in Ozaukee County about those yurt school. And another question is, on these charter schools that start up all over, you know, they must be getting money from the state to start these charter schools. But what happens when they kind of fall apart and they're closed up? Who's responsible for the monies that went into these businesses that start these charter schools? And I'd like to see if you have some good, smart answers for me. I'll hang up.
All right, Nancy. Thank you.
I don't know about smart answers, but Nancy, we are all responsible for what happens in that, in our schools, whether it's a public school, private school, or charter school. The charter school situation has been with us now for many, many years. There are strong advocates for it, and there are strong opponents to it. We must. I'm a strong believer, and I'm committed. I'm a strong advocate in the quality of education in our public schools, and I, of course, support private schools. And I think it's very important to pay attention to all students in the classroom, not only the top students, but especially the students in the bottom half of the student population. It is essential that we pay attention to those students. One of the points about charter schools is that they tend to take students away, good students, good potentially performing students away from the rest of the school, and therefore deprive good social interaction in the school where they would have been. These conversations must take place. All of us in our community have to engage in purposeful, civil conversation about what we want our schools to be. Every school district in Wisconsin and elsewhere must engage in those conversations so that we assure the highest quality of educational offerings in our schools. It's very, very important. The funding is a big question. The decline in population in certain rural areas is another big question. There are schools not too far from Madison, the west of Madison, were closed down because the population profile has changed. There's so many important issues, and each of us must take responsibility to engage in civic, responsible conversations in our community so we make the proper decisions about the schools and the funding of the schools.
I think Wayne in Marshfield has something along those lines as well. Wayne, hello.
Good morning. I was a teacher for 7 years, and I would encourage parents to visit the classroom, certainly to go to the annual meetings and visit school board meetings, and in that way they can find out what is going on in their schools other than from their children as they come home. When I was teaching, I encouraged my kids to follow the news. You follow the news, you're dealing with math, you know, budget numbers. They have to make sense to the common people, and if you pay attention to them, it will help. Then I have another suggestion. I've heard reports recently about the problem of disposing of wind turbine blades, and I would make a suggestion: cut them up into 6-foot lengths and use them as privacy fence. It would be a unique fence, and it might keep the blades out of the landfills and put them to good use. They're durable enough. I don't think you'd ever have to paint them. They won't deteriorate.
Wayne, thank you very much for calling. Couple of points there.
Yes, thank you, Wayne, for your suggestion to visit the schools. And if I may amend your suggestion to make an annual visit, don't just visit once a year. Visit more frequently. Be engaged in the community efforts that support the school. Insist on meeting with teachers and with administrators about the quality of educational offerings, not only because your own kids are going to that school, but it is part of our own civic responsibility to our community to see to it that the quality of education is at as high as it can ever be. About your comment about the second
blades.
The blades, let me pass on that.
Okay. But at least Wade's thinking about ways to, you know, make life better.
This is one of the many things I like about Wisconsin and about the citizens of Wisconsin. They're thinking, they're wanting to take responsible action. So do it.
Yeah. Thank you again for that call. This is a special anniversary for you, Bassam. I'm looking at your
promotion for Once Upon a Christmas Cheery in the Land of Shaka Sheri, and it's 50 years that you've been doing this.
Yes, I'm in my 50th year as a faculty member at UW-Madison. I'm very proud of that. And on December 1st, we will be celebrating a very special anniversary of our PBS program, Once Upon a Christmas Cheery in the Lab of Shaka Sheri. This will be happening in the Madison area. Free tickets are available to anyone who would like to come and see it in person. You can see it later on television, on Wisconsin Public Television, and around the country on other PBS stations. I don't know what the telecast times are yet, but I do know that the big event is going to be on Sunday, December 1st. We have two shows, 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock. And tickets will become available. A request for tickets begin on October 1st. So if you are interested in attending this very special event with a lot of special guests, which I'm not going to talk about right now, I want to keep it as a surprise, then visit my website, scifun.org, scifun.org. On the first page, you see the number 50 flashing. Click there. And after October 1st, you can request tickets. They're free tickets. We use tickets to control the size of the crowd. We don't want someone to show up and not get a seat. And this is a practice we've been doing for years. And Larry, as you well know, I'm really embarrassed to say this, but the tickets move very fast. So they're all issued within, you know, several days of when they become available. So if interested, please visit the website. And I look forward to seeing you in person. And if you can't make it, then I hope you look forward to seeing me on television later.
You know, I'm looking at the photos. You've changed a little bit over the years. They've got a whole string of photos from your first time. To your last, but I can still tell it's you. But
you can tell it's me. Yes,
your hair's a little lighter in color.
Yes, it's a part of the joy. Part of the joy of aging, Larry. And my beard is gone.
Yeah, your beard's gone, and your hair's a little lighter. But you've still got your energy. That's for sure.
Well, thank you so much. So the vibrancy that we enjoy in our community is contagious, and I'm very, very thankful to you for hosting me and over the years, and I'll be back.
Okay. Bassam Shaka Sheri, our guest today, a professor of chemistry at UW-Madison. Always great to have him with us, and he'll be back again, and we'll do this again. But October 1st is when the tickets go on, not really sale, they're free, right?
No, they're free tickets. The request for tickets begins on October 1st.
So go to scifun.org and you can get those tickets. But also, if you go there, I always like to go there because there's all kinds of interesting things on there, including a lot of really cool experiments that I did some of those with my daughter, Emily. Over time,
we have something for everyone who's really interested in quality educational matters.
Bassam Shaka Sheri. Well, coming up, we're going to switch gears a bit and talk with you about your personal finances. I'm not going to be asking you how much you make or how you spend your money, but we'll talk about some maybe smart ways to budget and credit reports. Maybe you have to deal with collection agencies. How do you do that? There's all kinds of things that Karina Mendoza of UW Extension can talk with us about. And Karina, our guest, next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mehler.